It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Dalton Kincaid, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the Trash Man. Trash Man, it's a big day because we have training camps continuing to go on this weekend on NFL Network. We're going to get the back together weekend where we're going to get the fly arounds to all the different camps, and maybe they'll have Hanson on there doing his red zone style stuff. It's going to be awesome. It's starting to feel a little bit like football, only after this weekend. What do we have, a week until the Hall of Fame game and stuff? We're coming right into it. Some of our users are reporting they have drafts this weekend, which seems a little bit early, early for me.
Emphasis on the term users.
Yeah, well, those are our pro members at rosterwatch.com who we can't thank enough. We're not going to poke fun at them for doing it because I'm already up to version 2.2 that I just updated this morning of the PPR version of the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. The Superflex version will be getting an update for this weekend's drafts to version 1.1, and Cody is getting the standard and half point PPR sheet done coming into this weekend, so that will be up as well. So all three cheat sheet products available over the weekend for you at rosterwatch.com. It's how we keep the lights.
Maybe they factor in like preseason performances.
It's how we can do this. We're supported 100% by our members. We're an independent, maniacal media company, and without you guys, we couldn't do it all. So thanks so much to our pro members. If you're not a pro member, you can scan the QR code or just go to rosterwatch.com or go to Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever. Just type in RosterWatch and it'll take you right there. Sign up for a pro membership, as cheap as can be, and it allows us to do this for a living. So thank you guys so very much. A lot of news and notes, though, from training camp, Trash Man. And one thing that actually has shaped my opinion on a player to a certain degree, we have to take things with a grain of salt coming out of training camp, right? But, man, my opinion's changed a little bit about how interested I am in Chase Brown for 2025 redraft season-long managed leagues. It hasn't changed much for Dynasty. I know you guys had a Dynasty show yesterday, but today we're talking season-long managed leagues. And I think with Chase Brown, you have the offensive coordinator yesterday, Dan Pitcher, for the Bengals, saying that Chase Brown is going to be a focal point on the offense. He says he's going to be a household name. He says he's everything Austin Eckler was. You'll all know who he is after this season. There are different media sites and different newspaper reporters and things like that starting to have this conversation of, can he break the all-time scrimmage yards record for the Bengals this season? It's just there's a lot of buzz, a lot of helium around this guy. And if you look back to last season, you can understand why, right? And I'm not going to let admittedly, I was not a giant fan of his as a rookie. And I'm willing to change my mind on it. And I just think right now, in doing some of these mock draft simulations, if you get to a point at the end of the second, the 2-3 turn, there's a lot of these times where you can get like, you know, in round two, you have a choice between like Chase Brown and AJ Brown, or Chase Brown, Ladd McConkey, these types of decisions. I think that getting Chase Brown on the third round side of that equation, to me at this point, is starting to make more sense than taking Bucky Irving in that part of drafts. Can you tell me kind of what you think about that? And my reason for maybe being a little, starting to be a little bit hesitant about Bucky Irving is that with the Bucks, we know that we've talked about the continuity of the offensive system, not even though there hasn't been any continuity as far as offensive coordinators, but there has been continuity of the system. They've all come up in the system, right? The Canales kind of deal. There's continuity with the quarterback, right? And Baker Mayfield. But Tristan Wirfs, man, is like an all world left tackle that really helps that thing, you know, who really just helps that thing go. I think he's, you know, Cody's not worried about it at all. He's like, well, he's gonna be back during the season. I'm like, well, but we have, what if he misses like 6 weeks? To me, it's just a little bit concerning for a guy like Bucky Irving. And the other thing with Bucky Irving, and I think you can worry about this with Chase Brown too, is that just his BMI, man, for a guy that – it's so weird that Rashad White is the one who is like the pass-catching specialist and the one that, you know, was one of the running backs that was the leaders in receiving touchdowns and stuff last year. And he weighs like 220 pounds, whereas Bucky Irving, they grind this dude between the tackles and he looks awesome, but he's like small. I worry about how he's going to hold up for another year.
Chase Brown isn't the biggest back either.
He's not the biggest, but he's
not even 210.
What is he? Is he 207?
209?
He's right there at that Devontae. It's fine. It's a Devontae Freeman type of weight. It's fine.
Well, I'm just saying in comparison to Bucky Irving.
Yeah, well, I mean he's got 15 pounds on him, and look, and here's the other The other thing too about Chase Brown, I mean, we all love Taj Brooks, but he really is the only game in town. You know,
I mean that's the main argument for me. It's just like he's in the perfect position there. I mean, where he's not getting too much pressure from any other running backs. He's on a good offense. You know, it's kind of a perfect storm for Chase Brown. Like, I don't think he's an incredible athletic specimen. I think he's a good pass catcher. I thought he was a good passer coming into the league. I didn't really see him as a two down back, but he's proven himself, you know, he's acquired that skill. And so I don't hate that. I mean, like my approach, I'm trying to go zero RB as much as I can.
Well, a lot of these simulations are going kind of almost a little bit scary for me, zero RB, because like it would be something that I would do in one of my leagues. But for all of our users, I think we're going to have users that say, like, what is this? You having me start out taking 3-4 wide receivers? They're going to – but, I mean, it just – it. But, I mean, dude, it feels good, some of these, when you start out. I'll run one right now and I'll show you, like, because you're going to have choices to do this, but I think I was from the, say, picking from like the ninth or whatever, just from the nine hole. And I'll be using version 2.2 of the cheat sheet, just doing this real quick. Like, so I can start out, Malik Nabers is here at the ninth overall pick. So you can go with Malik Nabers, at the 204, it gives you a choice between Jonathan Taylor and Drake London. Let's just say I take Drake London. At the 309, Jackson Smith and Jigba's available here. And then, this one doesn't have me taking 4 wide receivers, but it has me taking Nabers, London, JSN, and then in the fourth round, taking Kamara. And then I can also have a choice between Travion Henderson as my RB2 or just taking George Pickens as my wide receiver 4. You know, I think in that case, I would take Travion. And then it just so happens that Pickens fall. This is a great draft. I'm just gonna actually run through this thing. I should have probably shared my screen at the very beginning. Mock draft simulator. Here we go. Then it has me taking Brian Robinson. So this team so far has been Alvin Kamara, Travion Henderson, Malik Nabers, Drake London, Jackson Smith and Jigba, George Pickens. We'll take Brian Robinson here, who you're getting a little bit worried about, Trash Man, because of Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. We can talk about him in a minute. Tyrone Tracy at the 804. Let's see here. Ricky Pearsall at the 909. Going to get Jaden Blue on this roster in the 10th round. Tight end Evan Engram falls to us in the 11th. We'll go ahead and take him. We could have taken a Mecca Egbuka there, Trash Man. That's another guy.
I probably would have.
Here we have a choice between Roschon Johnson, Luther Burden and Brock Purdy. I wish Cody knows that we are on a podcast. He keeps texting me. We'll take Purdy here because I think Roshan will fall. No, he didn't fall. Okay, so I don't love this taking Cedric Tillman here in the
13th. I like taking a shot at Tillman.
And then we'll take Jarquez Hunter here. So that team ends up being, and all I did was follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper, ran a simulation, went kind of zero RB, but not really. I thought we could, but it feels zero RB ish a little bit, going Malik Nabers, Drake London, Jackson Smith, and Jigba to start. And then,
And then if you got Pickens too, I mean, it feels.
I got Pickens as well. Ended up getting Ricky Pierce all in this one. Cedric Tillman. The running backs are Alvin Kamara, Travion Henderson, Brian Robinson, Tyrone Tracy, Jaden Blue, Jarquez Hunter, tight end Evan Ingram, quarterback Brock Purdy. I bet you this thing gives me like a 92, 95. So the best draft of all of them right there. That's just that right there is an advertisement for the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. It's as simple as that. I'm testing it every day. I don't update it every day because it doesn't always need tweaks. It definitely needed major tweaks once we got the CBS ADPs added in back on Wednesday of this week. That's when I got it to 2.0. Something happened overnight on Wednesday that changed it to 2.1, and then there was some overnight stuff that happened yesterday. Weirdly, with Michael Pittman, do you have any idea why Michael Pittman might be falling as far as ADP? We were getting – like I woke up today and this thing was giving me – like every team was getting Michael Pittman in like the 11th round. I don't hate it, but
– I guess there was more news that AR wasn't doing well at practice. I mean, maybe that was an artifact of that.
I was trying to think. I'm like, well, what could – like the only news I've heard is it looks like Daniel Jones is kind of starting out as QB1 with
– Nobody's excited about that.
What?
Nobody's excited about that.
I'm more excited about Daniel Jones than I am about Anthony Richardson.
Huh.
Not as a player, or a fan of the game.
I think Jones is more of a game manager. I mean, I feel with AR you at least get some shots. I have to see it with Daniel Jones. I'm just thoroughly underwhelmed with his play generally.
Any worries about Justin Fields yesterday after the injury scare? I saw him running back
to practice.
Yeah, he was like running out on the field to go sign autographs this morning. But did it open your eyes a little bit to say like, man, Justin Fields is a dude who we're getting a little bit of in fantasy, just because of the clear everyone knows he brings.
I mean, it could happen to anybody. It could happen to anybody. Eh. It could happen to any player.
Okay, what about yesterday when I was like, whenever I had this freak out where I said, what does this mean? I'm like, it's like you don't know what it's got till it's gone. You don't know what you got till it's gone kind of thing. I was like, oh my God, Justin Fields is out. What about all my Garrett Wilson stuff?
Garrett Wilson's really the only show in town. So whoever is playing quarterback's going to get the ball to him. I mean, so I feel like Garrett, it doesn't bother me that much.
Here's the thing, I can't believe the sickness I have in my mind that this is the way I think. But I just kept thinking to myself, for all my Garrett Wilson stuff, I go, I know what's going to happen now. Tyrod Taylor is going to come in. He's like a 14th year veteran now. He always gets hurt. He's going to be hurt after 3 weeks. And then who do they have? Behind him is guys like Adrian Martinez. And just, dudes that
they would trade for a vet. They would, I don't know, maybe Kirk Cousins would concede.
I don't think that would be terrible. Although your boy Kirk Cousins looks kind of cooked at this point.
Derek Carr, maybe Derek Carr comes back. I don't know. They would figure something out.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Noah Fant was cut by the Seahawks yesterday. He visited the Bengals today. I saw earlier today he's visiting the Saints. So the Bengals let him get out of the building. That's two spots where it's like he would, if we were looking for something where Noah Fant could you know, we could leave the light on for him to be a fantasy producer for us. And one of them, you're stuck in a, you're just stuck in a role where no tight end's ever going to flourish in the same offense as T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Chase Brown. And then with New Orleans, it's like, it, there's no way either. I cannot believe that there's a three, there's a, that, that is a three-way battle for QB1, trash man, between Tyler Shuck, and even Jake Haener is in it.
Man, I knew Shuck was – it was people were getting too hyped up on it, on this dude. People drinking that Kool-Aid, and he can't even beat off these – can't even beat up Haener.
Well, dude, he was in college for 7 years, and he only got through one season injury-free, I think.
I mean, I don't know. I was doubtful about him from the get-go.
Did he get through one season of Tech injury-free without breaking his collarbone? I forgot. I think he got through one at Tech and one at Louisville.
I don't know, but if the Saints thought, I don't know. I feel like they thought they were too smart for their own good, and I think they probably should have gone with another quarterback there. But you know,
some dudes
maybe they just got three good quarterbacks.
Guys, dude, but here's the thing: there are guys around the league that we talked to on the circuit this year. You know, the combine, Senior Bowl, all these spots, the pro days, and then guys you listen to like Todd McShay or whatever. Like, there are people who love Tyler Shuck. So I don't know. We'll see. I think it's a little bit telling that Kellen Moore's in there. It's his first year, and he's not. I understand, man. Not just handing anything over to the rookie, right? You're not gonna have it handed to you. It's like Matthew Golden right now up in Green Bay. It's like, of course he's going to be a starter, and of course they're acting like, we can't hand anything to anybody. We got a bunch of good receivers. All this, just like, well, you just took this dude in the first round, you know. I would think though that Kellen Moore, being such a quarterback centric new head coach, would be like, all right, well, we drafted this guy, we took him relatively early. Let's wrap our arms around him. Let's just see what we can do with this dude instead of having a clown show rotation with Rattler and Jake Haener.
Well, the whole argument for taking a quarterback of his age and experience was that he'd be ready to go.
I know. I just find it odd the way that's being handled, because Shuck's going to be the starter, right?
I don't know. I could see Rattler starting out the season.
Rattler takes so many sacks, dude, and I don't know, man. Hopefully the offensive line's better. You know, they bring in Kelvin Banks. They got, you know, Trevor Penning, who I really liked coming out, but he's turned out to be a disaster. They moved him. So they took Fuaga, who was playing left tackle last year, the first round pick. They moved him to right tackle. They moved Kelvin Banks to left. And then they moved Trevor Penning to left guard next to Banks. So maybe who knows? Maybe Penning will be a nasty guard.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, maybe he'll be a nasty guard. Like, you know, I just see him being better in the run game. The point is, I'm not sure how that offensive line is going to come together, and Rattler just takes so many sacks.
Whoever's going to be under center is going to take some sacks this season. I think it's going to be tough sledding for that Saints offense this season.
Have you heard what George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb are calling each other?
No.
Are there monikers that they've given themselves? No. Mario and Luigi. They already have such a maniacal handshake. Have you seen the videos of it? No. It's maniacal, dude. It really, like, there's a lot of steps to it. Whole lot of choreographing going on.
You know they're working on something over there.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, I think it's cool. The one thing about it is the Cowboys at least look like they're having fun. You know, I mean, it looks like they're having fun. So
somebody needs to over there. I mean, Dak, he's kind of a sourpuss most of the time.
Dak was the one doing these creepy dances yesterday. So.
Well, yeah, he's probably happy now. Probably he's got his two toys.
Do you know who's not happy right now? Who does not seem happy at all? New Bears head coach Ben Johnson. Are you trying to go to Bears camp this year again?
I mean, I don't think that's going to happen.
You're just not going to head up there.
I mean, like I I don't really have a reason to go up there right now other than Bears camp.
Okay. Usually you always have some other reason. So, well, have you put in your stuff for Texans yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, this would be, gosh, this would be the one, you, like, every other year you've gone to Bears camp, I'm like, dude, why are we wasting money? To, like, this would be the year to go do it. But I don't think Caleb Williams looks particularly good in the clips that I've seen. And Ben Johnson's really, really yelling a lot. I've been encouraged to see Roschon Johnson seeming to get a lot of action in the passing game as a receiver. But I keep wondering what if this offense sputters? Like, I think that maybe just doesn't come out of the gate too hot. It doesn't come out of the gate as this new Ben Johnson Frankenstein machine wherever everything's just revitalized. And
well, nobody's expectations are too high for the Bears. You know, it's like we want them to do well, but nobody's expecting.
Well, yes, I think they're pretty high, man. I mean, DJ Moore right now is a fourth round pick, right? Roma Dunze is a sixth round pick. Those feel like pretty high expectations to me, man. DeAndre Swift is a sixth round pick. I think Roschon Johnson is the best value in that whole thing. He's going off his RB51, 160 overall.
Or potentially Luther Burden.
Yeah, dude, Luther Burden's a great pick too, wide receiver 55 in PPR.
Yeah. I mean, Ben Johnson, maybe he's – I mean, it's his first – I don't know, it's his first rodeo, so to speak. Maybe he's having trouble wrangling the team. I mean, he's been a coordinator. He hasn't been a guy running the show. Maybe he feels like he's got to throw his weight around.
I get – well, he's angry out there. And I'd be angry at some of these throws I've seen Caleb Williams make too. But he's got to make some better decisions. All right, so a couple other quick things here. We had yesterday did you hear, and what do you make of this when you hear that Breshard Smith was working in with the ones at the start of Chiefs camp? From the very start, he was getting some work with the ones.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, Andy Reid is a mad scientist. I mean, and I think the running back room, it's never been overwhelmingly, you know, talent filled. I mean, I think, yeah, he'll give Breshard Smith a chance. He'll see what he can do. He'll see how he can use them with the ones. I feel like Anthony Reed, I mean, we don't really need to question what he's doing right now. I mean, and I think it's well within the realm of possibilities that Smith could have a role in his first year. I mean, like, we've seen that with other Chiefs running backs. We've seen other Chiefs running backs come in off of free agency. And do work there, you know. So it's not a really strong running back room. So that doesn't surprise me.
I'm excited about the Chiefs, man. I've been hearing Andy Reid yesterday after practice saying we got to push the ball down the field more this year. We got to get more of these 20 plus yard plays. We just didn't do it enough last season. That was just music to my ears. I'm like, well, of course, dude. You have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. Are you kidding me?
Well, they eked by, you know, in so many games last season and then just got exposed in the Super Bowl. And I think they realized that they can't do that this season.
I'd love to hear it. I think Worthy's expensive now, dude.
I know, and that's why I like Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood Brown, you pick him up off the bottom of the scrap heap in your fantasy leagues. It's wild, dude, you know, how late you can get that guy. Let's see. We got – so our first look at Denver's new look backfield. So RJ Harvey was this, and this was from, oh, I just copy and pasted I want to give credit for the tweet because I'm about to read it. I think it was like Troy Rink maybe, who I have on. It wasn't Ben Albright. I think it was Troy Rink. He says rookie RJ Harvey continues to get looks flashing out of the backfield as a pass catcher with J.K. Dobbins taking a couple of handoffs in team periods. Now, I don't think that that means that J.K. Dobbins is the early down back and that R.J. Harvey's only a passing down back. I think R.J. Harvey at this point is probably – no, at this point he is a more explosive between the tackles option than J.K. Dobbins. Would you agree on that?
Maybe, but J.K.
Dobbins. Oh, dude, watch the UC tape. Are you kidding?
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying, but J.K. Dobbins is a more proven commodity in the NFL. I mean, he's somebody – I mean, the thing is, with their two down back, sometimes you want a grinder. Sometimes you want a guy to get beat up so you can bring in your – so you can, you know, bring in your other guy to – I mean, so you can bring your Tony Pollard.
Or in Sean Payton's case, your Mark Ingram, so you can bring in your Alvin Kamara. And here's the thing about that. If that was the case, that would be a terrific outcome for both those guys. Because I remember back in the heyday of those two, like I just remember like on DraftKings or whatever, you know, it was always hard to know who was going to be getting the touchdowns or whatever each week. So they priced them both at like 5,600 or whatever, and you can just start both those guys. Yeah. In good matchups, and you know, you could sometimes get a 20 ball out of each of them in your cash lineup, and certainly not a tournament play. But
thing is, the Browns receiving core is shallow enough to where you could have two viable running backs in that Denver offense.
Yeah. So anyway, but here's the thing: if I'm betting on one horse, I'm certainly betting on RJ Harvey. And since I'm happy to hear that he's the one that's being used in the receiving role, because what I think it means is he's going to run between the tackles, but also have the added benefit of being used as the receiver out of the backfield. All right, couple other quick things. This one thing from the Steelers, they came out yesterday. We saw Aaron Rodgers, his first throw in team drills, a pick whenever he was trying to throw to DK Metcalf. Jaylen Warren was the first running back up in team drills. Now, Caleb Johnson did get in during, I believe, the first series in team drills, but Jaylen Warren was in first. I think that's worth noting. The other thing worth noting is
I'm not surprised by that. I mean, he's the vet. He's the incumbent running back there. I mean, like, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
And it's good to know that Caleb came in at least with the ones during that series, right?
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
That's about as high as you would expect them to elevate a rookie. They were not going to put the rookie in over him, but they get him in during the first series. It means like, these guys are on equal footing. And then the Roman Wilson. So he is the number two wide receiver whenever they went to 12 personnel. Now, Jonnu Smith, I couldn't tell whether he was out there yesterday. I think for some reason, I don't think that he was out there. I don't know. I don't know, but I thought I read that maybe he wasn't out there yesterday. But we'll certainly keep an eye on it because we do know they're going to run two tight end stuff. They brought in Jonnu for a reason. They're still going to play Faramu, so they're going to be in 12 personnel. And it was not Curtis or it was not. Why am I blanking on his name?
Who?
The guy that I really liked coming out, he's at the bottom of the cheat sheet. It was, I can't believe this. It's Calvin Austin. It wasn't Calvin Austin. It was Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson wasn't healthy at all last year. And ever since I even thought about the idea of of an Aaron Rodgers here, I'm just like, man, that guy's trusty. He's dependable. He gets open. He gets separation. He could be like his Randall Cobb.
I mean, the thing is, Calvin Austin is a slot receiver. So that doesn't surprise me.
Well, Roman's kind of a slot receiver too.
But I think Calvin Austin would be playing more out of the slot. I think Roman. I mean, the way it's looking now, I think he'd be playing opposite DK Metcalf. I mean, it could even be Robert Woods on that side too.
If you've been watching anything about the Bills, I mean, I don't think that you would. There's been talk about like, well, Josh Allen, his connection's developing with Josh Palmer and Curtis Samuel's finally back healthy. Don't forget about him. All this stuff like that, right? But you can't get through any of the coverage without people saying all through spring, beginning of summer, and now it's continuing to fall camp. This thing's finally going to happen with Dalton Kincaid. Are you buying into it?
Well, yeah, because Dawson Knox is out of commission, right? And so, yeah, it makes sense for Kincaid to be getting that kind of shine right now. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
What better bet to make on a dude who you can get right now in like the 12th, 13th round of your drafts with the unbelievable draft capital, with all the speed, all the athleticism, all the college production, is playing on one of the best offenses in the league, which is do they have the highest implied team total, average implied team total of anybody in the whole league this next year? They have the average implied team total that is fourth best. They're implied for an average of 26.6. I'm sorry. An average implied team total, which is the first best, the best, 26.64 fantasy points per game. In a wide receiver room that is filled with it's like an island of misfit toys. There's something to kind of like about all these guys, but it's like, which one is the true alpha? Who's going to step up and be the alpha? And you're connected to Josh Allen. Maybe the guy who's going to step up and be the alpha is the guy who we've thought was the alpha all along. That's just finally the year for Dalton Kincaid.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at BetterHelp.com.